The rainfall might help control some fires in the region, but left behind will be the scorched earth that is prone to runoff and flash flooding. The United States isn't the only country experiencing serious wildfires. For the second straight day, more than 1,100 people have been evacuated by sea from the tourist hotspot of Bodrum to escape Turkey's forest fires burning along the Mediterranean coast. We help the evacuation of 1,140 people by 12 boats. Oran Dine, president of Bodrum Maritime Chamber, told CNN on August 2nd. We did evacuation by boats yesterday as well, but I never witnessed something similar before in this region. This is the first time, a witness said. Dine said while roads remain open and evacuations continue by land, evacuations by sea help keep roads open for fire trucks and ambulances. The death toll in Turkey's forest fires along the Mediterranean coast has increased to at least 8 people killed on Sunday, August 2nd, according to state-run Anadolu agency. The latest victims include a Turkish-German couple who were found in a house. According to the Turkish Agriculture and Forestry Ministry, 111 fires have started across the country since July 28. 6 fires are still burning in 3 different cities, the ministry said.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be having a series of discussions regarding the topic of women of Ashura, or Ashura and women. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister. I love the way you labeled Ashura in women.
Because, you know, Ashura, you women, it's like, it's restricting, I feel. But when we look at Ashura within ourselves, then it gives it longevity. If I feel like it lives on, right? So this is a very important discussion to have, because often I feel that when we look at the events of Ashura and the tragedies that took place in the plain of Karbala, it's like, oh, it happened 1400 years ago to a handful of really extraordinary people, and how could that ever happen again, and how am I supposed to relate to that, you know? And we could never put ourselves in the place of Sayyida Zainab, because no one could carry on what she did. We would collapse and fall. We would be dysfunctional in those circumstances.
But what would you say of Lady Maryam? What would you say of Lady Asiya? What would you say of Lady Fatima? What would you say of Lady Khadija? All these women were extraordinary.
Exactly, they were.
And each of them were in their own, you know, cases.
Most of them were borderline infallible. I mean, even when I think about Lady Maryam, she was very young when she was blessed with Prophet Isa, ala nabina wa alihi alayhi salam. But even, it's not possible to replicate Maryam in today's world. You want a girl to live in a temple or a mosque or a room in her house?
You have these monks, you have these sisters living in temples, and they dedicate their entire life,
but
their
youth,
their
beauty.
Yeah, but when
they're adults and do it, it's okay, because they chose it themselves. But to raise a child from the get-go in a monastery, in a temple, in a masjid, and deprive them of all the childhood experiences,
playing and talking and
making
running
a mess
around.
Yeah, barefoot
in
the grass.
You never know. These pages of history are dark to us.
They very much
us,
are.
And we don't know anything about
exactly.
them. Perhaps, these were like complexes. It wasn't like one single room, you know, that kids wouldn't. Actually, kids at that time, they weren't like kids in our time. Their dolls were like one piece of stick of wood.
And eyes carved in them.
Exactly. So their childhood at that time, centuries ago, were
simplistic,
not even comparable to what we do for our children. You know, we buy sets of toys, clothes, furniture for our children that they don't even use them.
Yeah, exactly.
And we spoil them. And the outcome of our child raising is not so fruitful in our time. So it's not like what we're doing is the best, and what they did was catastrophic. So I think that probably Lady Maryam, when she was 2, 3, 4, 5, she ran around, she had her own playtime, you know, she had her own childish games going on.
But I do think that they were all exceptions of history. Now, no one like Maryam is ever going to happen again. No one like Fatima al-Zahra, no one like Zainab al-Kubra. No one. Come on. Be honest. Can you imagine any woman, any other, Sayyidah Fatima, sallallahu alayha, she said after her father's demise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the calamities that befell me during this time befell upon the day, it would turn into night. She was an exception.
Yeah, but still, you can find so many people. You know, when you are placed in the heart of a challenging situation, God gives you the power. Of course, maybe not exactly. You wouldn't turn out like, say, the Fatima salamullah alayha, but you have extraordinary powers reserved within you. A human being has the potential, has the capability. Seriously, I believe in this. These days, all these positive thinking ladies who are going on Instagram, they're just giving you positive vibes every single morning and telling you that the impossible can be made possible if you believe and if you work towards it. Yeah. So this is just with the materialistic approach, they're, you know, trying to prove what they're saying is right. But in the spiritual realm, the same story holds valid. And I really think that the spirit of human being has the potential to reach its full capacity if there's a will.
Exactly. Which basically means that we all have this potential, our souls, our nafs, whether to do good or do bad. But we're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady here on IRIB English Radio. We're here in the studio with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're discussing Ashura'i women and Ashura'in women. We were talking about, in brief, some women in history that I personally think are just exceptions of humanity. But, you know, that's the job of our show. We take exceptions, we take
rare cases,
and exactly try to dissect them and find certain factors in them that we can apply to our own lives.
Exactly.
And we're going to try to focus our attention on the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and how it was preserved and continued by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can...
A woman or women?
Women led by a woman, you know? And Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam also being protected by a woman. Like, you know, Sayyidah Zainab, she just played a very, like, hardcore heroine,
awesome
role.
I know. At the end of the day, like, the only lady that you can find so much to talk about is Lady Zainab.
I know.
But also, before delving into the heart of history and talking about these ladies, I kept thinking about one specific lady today, which is in our own time, not so long ago.
Interesting.
She was martyred.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in Iraq, I think in the city of Qadamay, and born in a very noble family, a scholarly family. Her brother was also a martyr.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
I think you can
guess
her name is.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Bintul Huda,
exactly.
As-Sadr.
Exactly.
I think her given name was Amina, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she was a remarkable woman.
Yeah.
She was an author as well. She
exactly.
was a writer.
Exactly.
She'd write short stories
exactly.
for women.
Exactly.
I think I've read a few of her books. She has a very somber, very mellow, warm sort of pen.
Mm.
And she was brave. She was brave. Like with a capital B.
So she's an exceptional woman as well. One of those exceptional women that we cannot really compare ourselves with.
Yes and no.
Why yes and no?
Yes, in the sense that she was a sadr. She was born and weaned and raised in a scholarly family, like
of
you said.
As-sadr.
Of the sadrs. Right? I'm not saying all the sadrs are like
awesome
exceptional
people.
Awesome people. But still, come on. Nurture is a factor. Upbringing, nurture,
there
family
so
environment.
There are so many innumerable factors, but you have to take a holistic approach when you're talking about a human being. I was just, things come in between. I was also reading about this other lady and her story in supporting the ambassador of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about...
her name was...
Tawa.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? So Tawa was a lady in the city of Kufa, and she was the wife of Usayd Khazrami and the mother of a dude called Bilal.
Uh-huh.
And then Muslim ibn Aqil was in Kufa. It was nightfall. Everybody had rejected him. Prior in the morning, hundreds of people were behind supporting him and telling him, yeah, we're with Imam Hussein. They had actually sent letters to Imam Hussein.
And they pledged their allegiance.
They pledged their allegiance. And by nightfall, they all...
revolted against him.
They just changed their mind and they...
they were paid off.
They just left.
Yep.
And he was all alone in the alleys of the city of Kufa. And the only person who came and, you know, took him to her house was this lady, Tawa. And her son was this Bilal who reported them to the forces of Ibn Ziyad. And then the lady and Muslim ibn Aqil were both martyred on the 8th of Zilhijjah. You were talking about being raised in a noble family. You see, Of course, there is a very strong relationship between by whom you are raised up,
for sure,
and whose blood
runs
in your veins. But this is not the only story.
Absolutely.
This lady, Tawa, was the mother of Bilal, who reported them to Ibn Ziyad. Mm. So, as you know, you're saying, yeah, these are the Sadr family, you know, and they're exceptional, and it's like, it makes it a little harder for you if you are raised in a non-godly family.
Exactly,
but
exactly, that's what I meant. That's what I meant by yes and no. On one hand, she already had the groundwork. On the other hand, well, obviously, she had her potential. She could have, you know, had different inclinations, but she didn't. We have so many freedom fighters and brave figures and personalities, say, in Palestine, from mm-hmm. totally normal families, mm-hmm. but they fight for justice, they fight against oppression, they fight for their people, their brave men and women.
Or that Italian rich guy, millionaire, who was martyred, who became Shia.
Eduardo
Agnelli. Mm. You see, he was the son of Ford company.
Owners.
And then he became to be a true Shiite, and you know, the story about him.
Exactly. So the point is that there are a lot of components at play, like you said, and it doesn't necessarily depend on one single factor. But in any case, the objective of our show, the series of show we're going to have on this topic, is to try to apply all these factors into our lives and see how we can work about it and navigate toward the direction of getting close to those standards we set up for ourselves, i.e. those exceptional women in history, right? Because if you want to set standards for yourself, obviously the standard has to be higher than you.
Mm.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the love of
Allah?
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and our heartiest congratulations to you all on the occasion of Mubahala, the day on which Islam triumphed in a memorable debate with the Christians, when, as commanded by God, the Prophet took his immediate family, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, that is, his daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, son-in-law, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, and grandsons, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, peace be upon them, to their appointed place, to prove that Jesus was a prophet and not the Son of God, as alleged. Since God is too glorious to have such human attributes as the need of son, wife, and children. Here is a famous saying from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. the likeness of my Ahlul Bayt is that of the Ark of Noah. Whoever boards it is safe, and whoever stays behind is drowned.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
An aquarium in the French capital, Paris, is celebrating the birth of a baby black-tip shark. The female shark is 55 centimeters long and weighs 560 grams. She's currently quarantined in a small pond so she wouldn't come under attack by adult sharks. Officials at the aquarium say she'll be ready to swim amongst other sharks in 3 to 4 months. She was born last week at the aquarium, an event the caretakers say is very rare.
It's a rare event for us, which hadn't happened here for the past 5 years. The birth is quite rare in aquariums and in captivity in general. In fact, there are often embryos that won't survive, or they're sometimes stillborn. That's what makes it a rare event, which also occurs at night. We had the chance to observe it during the day, which allowed us to intervene very quickly, and we're able to recover the little one.
The International Union for the Conservation of Nature has designated black-tip sharks as a vulnerable species. It's particularly poached in some countries for their distinctive fins. The marvelous creatures have a torpedo-shaped body and often spin out of water while eating. They have specialized cells in their snouts that detect the electric current of nearby prey.
A Turkish farmer hails the miraculous survival of two baby goats from deadly wildfires. Sergin Bayat said seeing his livestock threatened by flames was the most difficult moment in his life. Bayat said although he lost 8 of his animals in the fire, he found new life after the survival of a newborn goat. He said the mother of the kid had been killed in a wildfire. Bayat called it a miracle. But there was also another baby goat.
We found another goat amidst the wildfire. She has a baby. There you go. Miracle number 2.
Bayat says although his farm was severely damaged, he's now over the moon at the survival of the baby goats. The massive forest fire in southern Turkey broke out on Wednesday, fueled by strong winds. Wildfires are common in southern Turkey in the summer, but local authorities say the latest fires have covered a much bigger area. Last year, a powerful explosion in Beirut turned life around for thousands of Lebanese. Now, a number of people have decided to build a monument in honor of the victims of a terrible accident. 27 individuals and organizations have pooled their efforts to build a giant 25-meter sculpture at a site of last August's explosion. The artwork is called Gesture and is made out of reclaimed metal debris. It looks like it's handing a flower to the city of Beirut. When completed, Gesture will also have a water and light installation. The project was conceived and designed by Nadim Karam, one of Lebanon's most celebrated artists.
Cats are notoriously volatile animals, as we all know. One moment, they are purring for your attention, and the next, they can't stand being touched. Now, a Canadian firm has come up with an app that can help you better understand your feline friends. The app is called Tabli and works with artificial intelligence. The AI's algorithm was trained at a clinic in the city of Calgary. The developers of Tabli hope their product can be useful for novice cat owners and vets alike. The app can also help monitor the health of cats. Tabli's developer explains how the app functions.
It uses artificial intelligence, so specifically machine learning, and it's coupled with the feline grimace scale. And what the feline grimace scale is, it's a way for humans to be able to determine if a cat is in pain or not, based on the ear positioning, the eye positioning, the muzzle, whiskers, things like that. And so we were able to train a machine using machine learning and a series of images to be able to make that determination. So if you're somebody who has a cat but you don't have that training, you can just use the app and it can help you determine this, how your cat is doing.
Sounds very useful. The Tabli is not perfect though and runs into problems when trying to decipher the mood of black cats. Despite the hiccups, the developers say the program will get better at doing its task as its artificial intelligence develops through practice. Humans have damaged the environment, perhaps more than any other species, but there are always some who go out of their way to help animals in distress. Known in Cyprus as Birdman, 28-year-old Konstantinos Antonio is a wildlife veterinarian. Every year, he saves hundreds of sick or wounded wild birds. The animals brought to him are usually found by regular people. Konstantinos says climate change has made the task of assisting birds more urgent as their survival becomes harder and harder. The Cypriot environmentalist usually frees the animals after treatment in the presence of other people in order to raise awareness about the issue. A vertical forest has transformed the Chinese megacity of Chengdu into a concrete jungle, making the lives of the residents greener. Each unit at the 8-tower complex has a balcony with around 20 types of luxuriant plants and greenery. The green space filters air and noise pollution while creating a spectacular view. The project in the southwestern city was completed in 2018, and all of the 826 apartments were sold out at the time.
I think it's quite good. The air quality is pretty good and much better than my old houses. The air is good when you wake up in the morning, and the green trees are good for us elderly people. They are good for our eyes.
Besides all the benefits, the apartments have a major problem. They have been overrun by plants and invaded by mosquitoes. The issue has forced some of the occupants to move out. Other cities around the world, such as New York and Copenhagen, have also launched similar green housing projects.
The best visited multimedia exhibit in the world known as Van Gogh Live. The experience has opened in Munich after being postponed a number of times due to
COVID-19.
Van Gogh is just the most famous artist in the world. He is also a prototype artist. He is the last artist who then tragically dies at the end. His life story was just fascinating, and that's why he is Van Gogh. And of course, his artworks are fascinating.
Featuring some of Van Gogh's best-known works, the exhibition is not only a feast for the eyes, but the senses, with music and smells to accompany the colorful projections. The exhibit is supposed to smell like the countryside because of where Van Gogh lived. However, the organizers say visitors cannot really experience the feeling due to wearing masks. Van Gogh Alive, the experience was first presented in Singapore in 2011. Since then, the multimedia exhibit has been seen in 70 cities and has attracted some 6 million visitors.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Conservation measures have managed to bring the world's most endangered cat back from the brink of extinction. In 2002, there were less than 100 Iberian lynx left in the wild. The situation prompted officials in Spain and Portugal to save the animal through a captive breeding program. They also tried hard to fight poaching and reintroduce rabbits, the cat's major prey, into the wild. By the end of 2020, there were over 1,100 Iberian lynx living in the two countries, most of them in Spain's southern region of Andalusia.
The main cause of death for wildlife, certainly in the natural environment, is related to human activities, roadkill, poaching, unwanted encounters. So the less interaction they have with humans, the better.
Despite the successful measures, the International Union for Conservation of Nature still lists the animal as endangered. It's estimated that the species will be out of danger only when its population surpasses 3,000. Urban development, hunting, and roadkill are the major reasons of death for wild lynxes these days. Brazilians have come up with a creative idea to combat population, that is pollution, and global warming, repopulating mangroves. The project is aimed at reforesting an area equal to 75 football fields in Guanabara Bay. Organizers hope to make the biggest mangrove garden in the country. Mangroves, which usually grow in tropical regions, are essential to maintaining water quality and clarity. They filter and trap sediments, heavy metals, and other pollutants. Mangrove forests are also able to store 3 to 4 times more carbon than other forests.
A mesmerizing hot air balloon festival has got underway in the U.S. state of New Jersey. The sky was littered with nearly 100 beautifully colored hot air balloons in different shapes, captivating every viewer. The awe-inspiring event brought together COVID-wary citizens to experience joy and jubilation amid health restrictions. Pleasant weather made the experience all the more enjoyable. The 38th annual New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning is likely the largest outdoor entertainment event in the tri-state area since the pandemic began.
Nostalgia is in the air in Paris as streets of the city are enlivened, that is, with old vehicles. The French capital has hosted an annual parade called Summer Crossing of Paris. It brought together over 700 vintage cars, motorbikes, buses, and tractors from all over Europe. The route started from a Vincennes Castle, east of Paris, and ended in the southwest of the city. Drivers crossed the iconic monuments such as the Eiffel Tower and the Arc de Triomphe.
It is extraordinary because the automobile industry heritage and the Parisian architectural heritage, which is obviously absolutely fabulous, echo each other. We are driving through all of Paris's most beautiful squares.
The 14th version of the event drew hundreds of enthusiastic visitors from across France. People were asked to wear masks and keep social distancing because of COVID-19. Tehran municipality has inaugurated an art garden that puts on display Iran's art and culture. As Youssef Jalali reports, the cultural facility aims to reconnect visitors with Iran's rich past amid increasing preoccupation with modern lives.
Sit back and enjoy the beauty of Iran's ancient culture. In Kushk Art Garden, located in the heart of Tehran, visitors get to learn about Iran's music, literature, painting, and calligraphy, far from the hustle and bustle of modern life. Kushk hosts Iranian artists who create masterpieces that have their roots in thousands of years ago.
Miniature painting has been around in Iran since thousands of years ago. In miniature, we paint flat images with a myriad of details. We avoid adding shades to make it as flat as possible, since in the past, Iranians believe that divine light gives shape to everything.
Metal engraving first stepped into existence 7,000 years ago in Iran. It is the art of incising decorations and metals. In this workshop, I will be available every day for visitors to see how I can turn metals into beautiful handicraft.
Kushk is part of a bigger project dubbed Art Garden. The cultural complex consists of an art lake, poem and literature house, music house, and Kushk Garden, each trying to promote an aspect of Iran's culture. Tehran municipality says it inaugurated the peaceful place, for it says cultural identity has been overshadowed by modern technology.
This precious place was a much-needed initiative to preserve the Iranian art and culture. As time goes by, technology gets more and more intertwined with our daily lives, and our genuine culture slips into oblivion. We need to have such cultural centers that safeguard our cultural heritage.
The Art Garden is situated on Abbasabad Hills in downtown Tehran. In recent years, the area has turned into a tourist attraction that houses structures that combine modern technology with ancient culture, such as this large pedestrian overpass called Tabiat Bridge, and the Middle East's largest planetarium, dubbed Mina Dome.
Kushk will be the last piece of Tehran's art garden, and will be a hotspot for a range of cultural activities, all aiming to revive the ancient Iranian art and culture, which experts believe have become a lost piece in today's hectic life. Youssef Jalali, Tehran.
Palazzo Farnese is one of the most famous palaces in Rome and is being used as the French embassy. However, some of the rooms there are not open to the public. Now, an artist has come up with a creative way to show the historic building to everyone. An Italian artist known as JR has created a mural art installation on the French diplomatic mission in Rome. The artwork is equivalent to a virtual hole and shows what the building would look like if there were no outside walls. JR has conducted similar dazzling projects on other buildings, including a mural in the city of Florence, providing people with a sneak view of architectural masterpieces.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you.
we present to you today.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the concept of contentment in Islam. Please join with us. Today, Wednesday, is the 24th of Zulhijjah, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 13th of Mordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 4th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. فَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَتَزْهَقَ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَهُمْ كَافِرُونَ
So let not their wealth or their children impress you. Allah only intends to punish them through them in worldly life, and that their souls should depart at death while they are disbelievers.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, it is said to the Prophet and all the Muslims that they would not surprise of the abundance of the hypocrites, wealth and children. That is, they should not imagine that those bounties might cause happiness and comfort for them. Sometimes, these bounties are the sources of worriment, anxiety and spiritual torments for them. For the sake of possessing some more possibilities, they think they are free from want.
Every time I close my eyes, I see in front of me. I still can hear your voice calling out my name. And I remember all the stories you told me. I miss the time you were around. I miss the time you were around.
As you know, the topic of this episode of today's special is about the concept of contentment in Islam. In order to live in peace and harmony, in order not to be deceived with the worldly entertainments, in order not to be distracted with what others may have, and in order to be contented and satisfied with what you have, our Prophet advised to look at those who are lower than us. It's a very important point. By looking at the situation of those who have less salary, less position, less property, less wealth, we will be grateful to Allah for all the blessings we have earned in life. Messenger of Allah said, look at those who are lower than you and don't look at those who are higher than you, so that you will not disgrace the blessings of Allah on you. To avoid anxiety and to avoid worries and uneasiness, one has to be contented and satisfied with what he has. To fulfill your needs, desires, and your worldly requirements, one has to look at the situation of those who are less advantageous. In this respect, the Prophet of Islam said, when a person sees a person who has better wealth and beauty, let him look at the ones who are less than him. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with contentment and the effects of contentment in our daily lives. Certainly, we find that, in the beginning, it must be indicated that contentment means that a person is happy with whatever he or she has already have. And in order to develop this sense and this attitude, people are expected to be happy with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in terms of properties, in terms of, for example, faculties, in terms of other capabilities. It's indicated in Islamic instructions that contentment means that anybody should be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him or her. At times it happens that, for example, we might feel envious regarding some other properties that other people have. But the reality is that as we are not living in the own situation and in the own way, we can seldom appreciate and understand the type of problems they might experience. For example, when you find that someone has a luxury car, you may imagine that most probably this person wouldn't have any problem of any kind in his life. But in reality, it isn't so. The reality is that, those people who have got some opportunities or some properties, they are expected to be very much careful to safeguard whatever they have gained.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
How to achieve qanaa, self-contentment, being aware of the heavy burden of responsibility that come along with wealth possession. Dear brothers and sisters, that wealth will bring harms and disaster to its owner if it was obtained and spent in indecent ways. When a slave was asked about his age, his body, and his knowledge, he would only be asked with one question, which is what it was for. However, for his wealth, he would be accounted twice for the source of the wealth and where did he spend it. It indicates the hardship for people who were entrusted with plenty of wealth, thus he must be accounted longer than those with fewer amount of wealth.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see. When you feel you've lost it all, when you don't know who's your friend or foe, you wonder why you're so alone. Worry ends when faith begins. Don't be sad by what you see.
Let's have a short look at negative effects of discontentment. One of them is permanent anxiety. Craving and greed result in apprehension and anxiety. Imam Baqir, peace be upon him, said the Quranic verse in chapter 23, "And do not strengthen your eyes after that with which we have provided different classes of them, of the splendor of this world's life, that we may thereby try them. And the sustenance given by your Lord is better and more abiding." When the Holy Prophet of Islam heard this verse, he sat upright and said that whoever does not have hope in Allah, the worldly craving will destroy him, and whoever does not cease to look with greed at others' wealth, his anxiety will increase, and his anger will not subside, and whoever considers God's bounties and blessings restricted in food and drink, his lifespan will decrease, and his punishment, pain, and suffering will be near.
The richest treasure is contentment. The biggest kingdom is contentment. You want to be a king? You can. Be content. كَفَى بِالْقَنَاعَةِ مُلْكًا, as one hadith states. You can be a king, a royal king, if you simply have contentment. You'll be happier than the biggest king through qana'ah, through contentment. Other narrations beautifully describe to us that the best way to achieve relief in your life and protect yourself from stress and depression is to be content. One hadith from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam states, "Al-qana'atu rahatul abdan." You want your body to relax, to protect yourself from stress? Be content. In another hadith, the Imam alayhi salam states, "Man qani'a lam yaghtam." If you have contentment, you will not feel so depressed. Therefore, this infinite treasure that can take you to the path of happiness is none other than qana'a, none other than contentment, my dear brothers and sisters. Now the question is, how do we develop contentment? How do we understand what contentment is? Does it mean that's it, I stop trying, I don't pursue a career, I don't try to get wealth in my life? No, that's not the meaning of contentment. Let me share with you some practical ways to develop contentment, my dear brothers and sisters. One way is to think of the blessings Allah has given you and to actually write them. Psychologists, one beautiful word of advice that they give is take out a piece of paper and actually write down what you have. What do you have in your life? You have health, you have a home, you have access to education, you have a shelter, you have parents, you have family, you have friends. What is it that you have? List them on a piece of paper. Reflecting on these blessings will remind you that, okay, there are a lot of things you may not have. That's true. However, you can manage your life through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Simply reminding yourself of the blessings God has given you will go a long way in making your heart happy. Over time, you develop the habit to be happy and content with what you have.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
That was all for today's special. So we'll continue this topic, inshallah, on the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Until then, believe you under Allah's protection.
يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا ربي يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.